Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I'd like to also say that thank you, Nelson, for explaining why I'm wearing glasses. I don't like wearing glasses, prefer my contacts, but I'm here. And thankful that the twig that slapped back and got me in the eye only stopped at just poking my eye. I can still see out of it yet. And so I've got a lot to be thankful for. I mean, you take something as small as a contact and the doctor tells you that your contact might help save it, or at least help prevent some of the injury. And you look at what a contact is, and it's not much to help, but it did. And so it probably looks worse than what it actually feels to me. I do have a little uncomfortableness with it, but it's not too unbearable anyhow. Well, as I pondered the message for this morning, last Sunday, I missed being here. I went back and listened to Brother Dalbert's message on gratitude, and I appreciated it. But I was down at Maple Ridge, and I preached a Thanksgiving message there. And yes, it was first time in deer season, and we have this little, can we say, a joke that, you know, this preacher tends to turn to Jonah. You know, he must be running away from where he should be, and he preaches out of Jonah on first, if he has to preach after first day of hunting season. And so I did that down there as well. I preached out of Jonah. And I took my old set of notes I had from one time when I did that. And as I was studying, I pretty much scrapped the whole notes and started out with a whole new set of them. Because there's a thought came through to me that stood out to me. And I preached that down there. And so I told my family this morning, I said, they're going to have to hear some of the same, but instead of going to Jonah, I want you to still think about Jonah. And we might take a little reference to Jonah and his how he faced life as an example. But I've chosen somebody else this morning to think about as I go through this message. And Delbert went down through and he did that used the word gratitude and put words to it. And my message this morning is going to focus more on his one thought of grateful for all things. It's going to maybe pull a little more out of that thought. But before we go much further in this message, I want to ask you, did you make a list of what you're thankful for this year? Let's open it up. What would be on your list? Or you can't think of any. Jerry, good health is one.
Jesus. Grateful brothers and sisters.
Very good.
When I think of the wars going on and all the unrest, I'm thankful for what we have here.
Very good. Very good. It's not limited to this side. Both sides can share in this. Did you catch the thankfulness out of the song we sang this morning? I thought about it probably partly because I was thinking of this message, but 877, for the beauty of the earth. And you've listed some of those. But in this song, I didn't see anything that highlights what I was thinking about in the message this morning. And that is for the all things, the trials that come. So I've titled this message this morning, and I want you to keep thinking about this as you go through the coming days, on through this next year, all through the rest of your life, because this title, I've given it because it's a question. And the question is this: thankful for what? And you put in there, because as I view my own life, it's so easy for me to lose focus of what I'm really thankful for. I appreciated what you gave, and there's a whole list that you can keep going and keep going. We could spend all morning thinking of thankfulness and the way it all pulls together. But we're going to pull out a little bit of a highlight of one area to be thankful for. So you can turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, not to Jonah as I did last Sunday. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'd like to read the first 10 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. As before we start reading this, just remember this thought. Oftentimes, as people today, when we think about being thankful for something, we start thinking of things that are positive. Because that's the easy stuff to be thankful for. That's something that in our hearts we just wells up this thanksgiving, and that's right and good. And it should be that way. And so those are the things that are easy to be thankful for and easy to have gratitude for. But what about those negative times, those hard times? Can we be thankful in that? And so let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. This I do not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul's writing here to the Corinthians. Let's just focus on that. And he says in verse 2, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, and commentators would say it's probably Paul. It seems like Paul, this man that he knew, he's not even going to lift up himself and say it was me. But either way, whoever it was, but I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. To ask you the question, think back to something that we had happen in our lifetime. One of your brothers made mention of thankful being able to gather together as brothers and sisters. What about, do you remember COVID days? Was that a negative or a positive? Did you enjoy it? I didn't. But you see, I can be extra thankful today that we can gather together. Because it was a negative in my experience, but it's a positive because I enjoy today more what we have. And that goes through life. While we have, as we come to this account here, as we think of Paul and his these verses here. In verse 7, as I think about these, what he's had experienced in this vision that he had, and he don't want to be exalted above measure. And so we look at God's grace, that sufficient grace that was there listed in verse 9. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. And you know, and grace is the unmerited favor of God. What do you and I really deserve from the Almighty God? Do we deserve a life of ease? Do we deserve a life of a bed of roses? Well, no. We deserve death and destruction because of the sin of Adam passed down to us. We deserve death, but that's not what he gave to us. He gave us grace, and he holds it out to you and I, that thing that we don't deserve, and we can be thankful for it. We are sinners. We deserve death. And instead, he holds out life to us. The price for our sins has been paid through the blood of Jesus. And so no matter the trials of life, God's grace is there for us. Whether it's that physical trial, mental trial, spiritual trial, God's grace is there. We can be thankful for God's grace because it's there to carry us through the trial. You know, for Paul's experience, Whether it is a past trial, whether it's a present trial, or whether it's going to be the future trial, His grace was there for him. And the same is true for us. A past trial, whatever we had, the grace was there to carry us through. He's there for any present trial that comes our way. And He'll be into the future. We can rest in that. Are you thankful for it? Well, what was the trial here that Paul experienced? It was a thorn in the flesh, we say. A lot of different thoughts and points put to this thorn in the flesh. And we're not going to go in and highlight maybe what it could have been as much as what I see out of these verses. And in verse 7, that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I don't know what that messenger of Satan to buffet him, but was there some struggle with pride that Paul had? I don't know. Paul was a normal human being. And if you read back in verse 4, he had seen some things which was not lawful for a man to utter. It was something out of this world, and it just, Paul could have maybe made a name for himself, lifted himself up in pride. Maybe he could have came across with pride that he had this vision. You haven't had it, so you need to listen to me because I'm Paul. I had this vision. But no, there was a thorn in his flesh. Helped to keep himself in check. We don't know what it was. But from the wording here, we can infer that it was a physical infirmity. Maybe even possibly painful. A thorn in the flesh is where I pulled that from. It's physical, the flesh part of it. You get a thorn in your flesh, you know about it. It's something it reminds you really many times as you have it. And it produces pain. And so as he uses the wording there, a thorn in the flesh, I think it's maybe right to say that this infirmity, this thorn in the flesh, was something physical. Something that Paul had that was physical. In the last of verse 7, there's another aspect of it, and we touched on a little bit, but I believe this infirmity was a little humiliating. Because he said about, lest I should be exalted above measure. He didn't want to have pride step in. He didn't want to be lifted up with it. Or it brought him down. Do you have any of them in life? There's some times when I look at my own life and there's some things I wish I could remove from my life because I just wish I could be better at. Wouldn't have this habit maybe or whatever it is that you want to put there. I've been there in these. Well, Paul looked at it and it was something in his life, this infirmity that was there, this thorn in his flesh, was something that if he would have had his way, he would have had it removed. Because it was a problem to him. It was a pain to him. It got in the way. In fact, it was so much it could have gotten in the way of his thankfulness. Well, in verse 8. How did Paul respond to this? Well, in verse 8, it says that I besought the Lord thrice, three times. And so his response to this trial, this thorn in his flesh, was that he went and started praying about it. A specific prayer for this thing. I besought, and I don't think it was just a one-time saying it. He was earnestly praying for it. That it be removed. In fact, he said it three. He prayed it three times. We could think about the continued prayer, the perseverance in prayer. But we're not going to go there as much this morning. But God responded to his prayer in his response, Paul's response to his trial, his prayer. God responded to it. And in verse 9, we find that. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's God's answer to Paul. I'm not going to remove the trial. I'm not going to remove the thorn in the flesh. But it's sufficient grace. It was enough to be possessed of adequate strength. There was enough for him to be strong. It was sufficient. There was enough. And it was, Paul, it was sufficient for yesterday, and your past is sufficient for you today. And into the future, Paul, it's going to be sufficient for you. Well, the weaker we are of ourselves, the more power, more of God's power can be displayed. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, through your weakness, through this infirmity, my strength can be viewed as it is worked out in your life. Now, where I want to go with is this whole thing of coming this far through the message is this. It is so easy for us to come through it and have trials in life. And we forget to be thankful for the all things. And we stop right here. We forget that Paul goes on in this verse 9 and he starts thanking God for what he has done for him, for what he is to him, and for this trial even. Because God, through this trial, God's strength can be made visible to men about us. And he says, most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'll just be okay with this thorn in the flesh. I'll be okay with this trial that the Lord brought my way. We have this problem, this trial that we are facing. It's so easy for us to stop short right there. We prayed to God about it. We want this trial removed from our life. And we sit right there. We don't want to move any further until God speaks and removes the trial. We forget to just rest in God's sufficient grace for the trial. And to be a thankful person in the midst of the trial. Why? Why does that happen? Why does it happen to Ron Smith that happens in his life? Where he likes to stop right there. And just dwell on the negative. Dwell on the trial. And forget to see the blessing and the thankfulness we can have. Why is it? Well, you think about Jonah now. Did he have a trial in life? Oh, yeah. The Lord called Jonah. You go. You preach to the people of Nineveh. Jonah said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going the other way. And in Jonah, I didn't write that verse down. I'd like to just read one verse out of Jonah. What the changing point that I find in Jonah's life, as he faced that running from God, he faced running from the trial that was in his life, and he got into the ship, and he went out there, and God brought that great storm. So much to the fact that everybody was afraid, and so they threw Jonah overboard, and he's there in that that great fish that God prepared for him. He's there in the belly of that. The weeds were wrapped around his head. A miserable place, a trial in his life. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, he says this, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. You see, his focus started coming off of his trials in life and with a trial that God had asked him to go do. And it started focusing on what to be thankful for in life. And if Jonah could have kept that focus in his life the rest of the way through his life, when he went to Nineveh and he preached to them, I'm just giving you a quick recount of it, you Bible readers know the account. He preached to them and they brought salvation to them. They repented in sackcloth and ashes. And here's this, well, someone last Sunday made this statement that I hadn't thought about before, and I'll just share it here. There's studies have said that there's been men that have actually, in a whale, have actually survived it to this day, but the acid in the whale's stomach acid bleaches a person out. Like, it takes all your pigment out of your skin, so you're a white person and with all kinds of wrinkles when you come out. And so here's Jonah. He walked over into Nineveh and he was preaching for 3 days and he probably was sunburnt. You know what blisters feel like. So no wonder he made that booth out there. And he's out there just feeling sorry for himself because it's his trial in life. He forgot the thankfulness he had for God's goodness to him when he was there in that fish's belly. You see, his tendency is the same as ours today. We revert back to unthankfulness. And then we have the gourd that came on. And he's out there, he's angry, he's a little bitter because God didn't keep his end of the deal. And so he wants to force God into keeping his end of the deal. We can't do that. Our trials are there for us, and God's grace is sufficient for those trials. And so when the gourd came up, God sent that. Jonah starts, he was so thankful. That thankfulness welled up in him because things were going his way again. It was feeling good. And then God sent the worm and destroyed the. And so he's down in the dumps again. And that's where the account of Jonah leaves off. We don't know whether the man came back to thankfulness. We don't know what else God had to do in his life to bring him back to realize that the trials in life do not make the difference of whether you can be thankful or not. And so I'd like to go into the last part of the message I have, and that is some hindrances to thankfulness. As I view these accounts, especially of Jonah, but it also, Paul overcame them. Paul did not respond the same way as Jonah did. And so the first hindrance to thankfulness I have is self, and all my points are going to revolve underneath this thing. A hindrance to thankfulness is myself. Self blocks me from the positive and produces only negative. You see, a self block produces a block in our relationship with Jesus. When it's all about self, we're not laying ourselves down and opening ourselves up to God. And we don't view God for who He is. We must take care of self. Well, what does self produce? Self produces narrow-minded thinking. You see, it starts thinking about the I. I deserve better. What did I do wrong? I mean, God, what are you thinking? Giving me this trial in life. We get so wrapped up in this narrow-minded thinking that we can get into, and we look at ourselves and we forget that there is a bigger picture that God is painting. It's way bigger than what our little minds can comprehend. God is painting a big picture. And so in our narrow-minded thinking, we can begin to question God. And God's really just saying, my grace is sufficient. Lean on me, and God will take you through whatever trial. What else does self produce? The second one, self produces unwillingness to serve. We find that especially in the account of Jonah. He was unwilling to be used of God. In the account of Jonah, we didn't read all that, but it was all Jonah's agenda or it was no agenda. In Paul's account, it is different. Most gladly would I rather suffer infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me and work out. He was willing to serve, willing to be used of God. That's the difference between a view of self or a view of God. So think about that as we go through these. What else is a hindrance to thankfulness as we think about self? Often comes a sense of entitlement. This is my life. This is what I deserve. Remember at the start of the message, I said, what do we deserve? Death. Destruction. That's really what we deserve. But this sense of entitlement, and in as you think of self, the look at ourselves and how we get this inward focus and the sense of entitlement. If we don't get what we think we deserve and what we're entitled to, the natural response is anger and disappointment. You show me a man that's angry, and I'd like to know if that man has a problem with self or not. Well, we all have struggles with self. But oftentimes, anger revolves around this sense of entitlement. It's my way. This is what I deserve. It's got to go my way. And when it doesn't go my way, I get angry. I get disappointed. In fact, in the life of Jonah, he got angry and disappointed to the point that he said, just take my life. Just kill me, God. We demand our way, and if I can't have my way, just get rid of me. Is that where Paul was? No. He was gladly, thankfully, willing to suffer and willing to give and give and give. I'd like to read a quote I found online. And I sometimes hesitate to read stuff from online, but I enjoyed this quote because it's a deep quote. It says it better than I could. Listen closely. Entitlement and self-absorption are massive impediments to gratitude. You will certainly not feel grateful when you do receive what you think you have coming, because after all, you have it coming. Counting blessings will be ineffective because grievances will always outnumber gifts. To me, that's a loaded statement. You can always find something to be, when you start looking at self, you can always find something to have a grievance against. You can always find someone that treated you wrong. You can always find something that you can complain about. You see, it's focused around self. And so what is the remedy? What is the remedy for this? How do we get rid of this hindrance that we can have in our lives to thankfulness? How can we get from the first part of verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where God is answering Paul, how can we get between that and the thankfulness, the most gladly, therefore will I rather glory? How do we cross that? Maybe we should ask it this way. How big a whale does God have to provide for you to take you down? To be able to get to the place where you're at the bottom and say, I give up with self. I'm done with myself. I'm going to serve God with everything I have. Because Jonah did that when he got there to the whale in the belly there. He started praying, and his prayer was of thanksgiving and making a vow to commit himself to God. I will pay my vows. Each and every one of us have paid vows or have made vows that we need to pay. And we need to stand true to them, even when times get tough. And so I don't have a big breakthrough of how we can remedy this, other than just to say, we've got to come to the end of self. We need to stop living for self and serve, get our focus on God and His provisions to us. And then the trials that come, we can dwell on His grace that is sufficient for us today and tomorrow and however long He gives to us, no matter what the trials He gives to us. We can stand true. Well, Jonah seemed to ride the waves. One day he was at the top, next day he was at the bottom. You find your life that way? Sometimes we find it easy to be thankful, the next time we don't so much. It's probably our human nature coming out. I think the answer is, let's keep focused on God. You know, the children of Israel, as they journeyed to the promised land, they often found a lot of times you'd find them, you just see the waves that went through their time of journey. One time they're on top, praising God, worshiping God. Next time they turned away from God and they were in a slump, and then they were back up again. Why? Because they turned from God. They started focusing on self and where they were themselves instead of just looking to God to lead and guide them. And so that is the answer to being thankful even in trials. Just look at the right spot. We are alive today, and we should be thankful, one of the most thankful people, because we serve a God that has paid the price for our salvation. And we can live with our sins forgiven. And His grace is sufficient for every trial that comes our way. And so, every day of our life, let's not just at Thanksgiving time, not just last Thursday, but let's take Thanksgiving and make it a life of thanks living every day. Because God is still there, and He's faithful through everything. Closing verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Know where you take yourself in life. Whether you feel like the trials are too much, God's being unjust with you. Let's remember this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. No matter whether the trials are hard, no matter where God is leading you through, He's faithful. He will lead you on. And may God help us to take care of self, to take care of the living for self, and focus on God every day of our lives. Let's kneel for prayer.